happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And how are you? What's going on with your arm?
I have a lovely pink bandage on my arm because it's more cancer.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just one of those squamous cell things that pops up if you've spent your youth lathering yourself with baby oil and sitting out in the sun. Didn't you?
No,
we all did.
Maybe.
Because burning and peeling was so much fun.
Not as much. I wasn't a beach boy, but was out in the golf course a lot, and you got a lot of sun.
Well, now I get things that pop up every once in a while all over.
And not just the golf course, picket lines.
Anyway, it's fine. The guy, I went to the dermatologist yesterday. He scraped it off, but it just never ends. Except, of course, the breast cancer seems to have ended, except I'm still taking pills. But anyway, well, it's all fine. But I am going to go risk my life again on the golf course for the next week or two. And Chris Cooper is kind enough to be sitting in. Is he going to be actually here in the studio?
Yes, he is.
Oh, boy. I know you guys like that.
Great.
So thank you, Chris, for sitting in, and let's do this week's news.
You'll be back in 3 weeks.
I will.
All right. So in the news, you saw that the Texas U.S. Senate race is now pitting a virulently anti-LGBTQ Republican versus a pro-LGBTQ Democrat.
Viewers of this show may be the people most familiar with Ken Paxton of anyone outside of Texas.
That's Ken on the right.
We talk about him all the time.
And, of course, that's his Democratic opponent, James Tallarico.
More in a minute when we
loves
get
the Lord.
But is not a vegan. U.S. House Republicans have passed an extremely anti-LGBTQ education bill, and 8 Democrats join them on this bill.
I don't want to raise people's anxiety. They do expect the Senate to stop it, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Trump continues to drool over attractive men.
More and more.
And find time to wage his wars on Iran, women, LGBTQ people, and people of color.
Pete Hegseth told graduating cadets at West Point that they can't fight wars with pronouns.
Now, why do they call him he calls himself the Secretary of War, but according to Trump, this is not a war. All right. The out Colorado governor, Jared Polis, a longtime viewer of this show.
Well, he was. I don't know if he still is.
Was censured by his own state Democratic Party, but not over a gay thing.
No, but it's interesting. The Republican base seems to be fracturing over how much bigotry is permissible, or I would say desirable, in their ranks.
We have good news from Nebraska and Maine.
Yay. And a New Jersey school board has been ordered to pay $1.4 million for failing to protect a student from homophobic attacks.
And this is my favorite story of the week in Watertown, Wisconsin. We've told you about them. The community rallied behind students who were banned by their school board from performing a Stonewall-inspired orchestral piece. And we will link to a lot of this also, the whole thing, in our email. You go to KUSATV.org, get on our email.
But
and
we
you
have
get
some,
extras.
Yes, but we have some lovely little video clips to show you.
It was very inspiring.
Yes.
That moved me deeply.
Good and bad news from the United Kingdom government.
The exhibit of Peter Hujar's contact sheets, he was a great photographer, died in 86, at the Morgan Library, is a close-up on LGBTQ life 50 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of those pictures are really fascinating. And Heated Rivalry, the unauthorized musical parody, opened off Broadway, and Andy, of course, went to see it.
With Bill.
Yep.
All right, so the U.S. Senate nominees in Texas, Trump backed the anti-LGBTQ monster, Ken Paxton, who's the current attorney general, who is waging war across the country on trans people. And he
has for years, years.
And he defeated the longtime Republican Senator John Cornyn, not a friend of ours.
Nope.
Now, Republican senators complained bitterly that having Paxton as the nominee could make them lose the seat, lose down ballot races in Texas, and lose their majority in the Senate. What are you doing to us?
One can only hope.
But Democratic strategists have not included Texas on the top tier of the races they for Senate pickups. I mean, it's possible, but we've said that before. The top tier include Alaska, North Carolina, Maine, and Ohio.
And Sherrod Brown, I'm sorry to say, the latest poll thing I read had him like 3 points behind.
Well, three points is close.
It's within the margin of error, but I really am hoping that Sherrod will get back into the Senate.
You know, the wonderful thing, though, about getting rid of Cornyn is if he wants to be, he is now free to stand up to Trump the way Tom Tillis is.
And Bill Cassidy.
Lisa Murkowski does it sometimes.
Yep.
Susan Collins teases that she will, but she's in a tough election.
Which is a reason for her to appear more progressive.
And yet she needs to hold on to her base. She's in a race, of course, with Graham Platner.
Yeah.
The Democratic nominee is, you know, James Tallarico, who leads Paxton in the polls in a state that Trump won by 14 points. Paxton, in his victory speech, it was nothing but anti-trans stuff.
Well, that we have discussed many times on this show, that this is what the Republicans do. They pick an issue and they just hammer away at it with a sledgehammer to try to get votes. They did it with abortion. They did it with same-sex marriage and LGBTQ rights, and now they're doing it with trans people.
I think it can lose some of its saliency.
Well, I would hope so, but they've been very successful with this kind of approach for a long time.
Well, all good things come to an end, Republicans. So Colin Allred defeated the out Julie Johnson in a runoff for a Texas nomination for Congress there. Johnson is the first openly LGBTQ person elected to the U.S. House from a southern state. Colin Allred, he got redistricted.
This used to be his seat, and then he quit the seat to run for governor, Senate, one of those in Texas, and he lost. And now, they have done redistricting. She won his seat in the meantime. And so he came back and said, I want my seat back. He has won the primary. And he's a heavy favorite to win the seat in the general election. And he's a good guy, and that's fine. And it's just, limited resources. We don't have enough seats to go around for those
people.
Nice
to see that a panel of federal judges in Alabama, two appointed by Trump, rejected Alabama's efforts to use a new voting map for the November midterms.
Yes.
The panel wrote, was painfully aware of the gravity of our ruling. We do not find the issue particularly complex or close, however. Two Trump judges on that panel. And South Carolina just failed to do their redistricting.
Yeah, but you know what is happening these days. Even Trump judges are with us, and then either the Trump administration literally ignores the rulings or takes it to the Supreme Court, where they win.
Well, because the Supreme Court is totally determined to keep Republicans in power so that they can stay in power.
Of course, but that's what happens. So we can celebrate these victories in the lower courts, and we do, and we're thrilled with what they do, but it's not necessarily the end of the story.
We need to get back the majority in the United States House of Representatives under the GOP. They just passed the Stopping Indoctrination and Protecting Kids Act by a vote of 217 to 198. Now, they say it faces low chances in the Senate, but and they got eight Democrats to go along with them, including Laura Gillen in Nassau County.
And one of the Vindman brothers who's in the House.
Eugene. And Gillen said, as a mother of four, I believe informed parents are best equipped to support their children's needs and success. It's disgraceful. Now, this bill, I mean, if it became law, it gives the administration enormous leverage to stop federal funds to schools that don't get in line with their gender, their campaign against gender ideology.
This bill forbids teaching about trans or gender or gay
it's
in the schools.
It's almost like you can't mention the existence of transgender people because, according to Trump, they don't exist.
They want to erase people. But I remember many years ago doing an AIDS 101 session for parents at a Westchester school when I was working for Hetrick Martin. And a woman stood up and said, you know, I'm a mother and I make sure that my kids get educated and I don't think this belongs in the schools. I think parents should be in charge of this. And I said to her, you know, I hear you and I believe you when you say that you take responsibility for educating your children and I'm sure you do a good job. But what about all the other children in the class who are not the beneficiaries of such responsible and educated parents? Don't they deserve this education?
And that's why opt-out was instituted in a lot of school districts. You don't want your kids to hear about this, which is nuts. I mean, when I say it's nuts, I mean, how do you completely avoid references when you're talking? Even when I was in school before Stonewall, they would mention the homosexuality of Tennessee Williams or something like that. It was relevant to the thing. You know, how do you stop that?
Well, my point is that she heard what I said and agreed that, in fact, the entire class needed the benefit of the kind of teaching that she was doing with her child. She conceded that I was correct.
We need you on the front lines here to continue to convey these messages.
That's what I need to do is go back to teaching in the schools.
Now, the House rejected a bill to construct an American Women's History Museum. This has been on the boards bipartisan for 20 years. But this time the Democrats balked.
It was great.
Because the
really
bill
great.
Gave too much power to Trump over it, and the GOP limited the museum to biological women blocking trans women.
No, I got an...
But it's not just that. It's like giving Trump all the power over
it. And the Democrats finally said, we're not capitulating to this. Do we want a women's history museum? Sure we do, but not under these circumstances. And they killed it. I got an email from a viewer, may have gone to you too this week, saying, why do we allow J.D. Vance to change his name about six times in his lifetime for any random reason, and yet we condemn trans people who want to change their name or women who adopt their husband's name and are now going to be prevented from voting because it's not their birth name?
Well, we can't have too many women voting because then Democrats might win.
Yeah. But I'm very proud of the Democrats in this case for not letting Trump take hold of this museum.
All right. This is, I don't mean this just to be amusing, but Trump loves Jackson Dart's legs. Jackson Dart is the Giants quarterback who controversially introduced Trump at a political rally in Westchester, New York, for endangered Republican Mike Lawler. Why would he want Trump in the district? Trump greeted Dart.
Because Trump has the power to draw votes.
Trump greeted Dart with a handshake and a hug and later called Dart a future Hall of Famer, saying he has a lot of talent, is a beautiful guy, and has legs like tree trunks, as you can see from that picture. Dart hardly said anything.
Dart is about 23. He knows nothing.
It was a great honor, he said, to be introducing
yes,
the president.
Yes, he did.
Some of his teammates were
shocked
that he was. One of them, Abdul Carter, who's a linebacker, said, "Is this AI?"
Well, someone was speculating in some sports discussion on TV the other day that Jackson Dart better watch out because his front line may not protect him from the other team coming after him.
Trump continued, I'm looking at Jackson. I'd like to know, is there any woman in the audience thinks they can tackle this guy? Because I'd like to meet you. I'd like to shake your hand. I don't know, Jackson. You think you could play against women? I mean, this is demented.
It is.
It's completely demented. He mixes up so many things in his demented head, and nobody takes him down.
Yeah. And then following their dear leader, the Secretary of War, Defense, take your pick, Hegseth, was at West Point for the graduation there and went on in a rant about wokeness in the military and how we can't have it and it makes us losers if we have diversity, equity, and inclusion, when, of course, the opposite is true. And he's looking at an audience of a very diverse graduating class.
The battlefield, he said, does not grade on a curve, and you can't throw pronouns at the enemy.
He also said, forget laws that mandate this. Forget laws.
And he accused their professors of being anti-American ideologues that we have to get rid of. You have seen your they're graduating. They're trying to have a happy day. And this punk, your standards have been lowered. You've seen an obsession with race and gender, watering down of discipline. Discipline, this guy's a drunk. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
And then Trump continued his beautiful boys tour by speaking at the Coast Guard graduation, where he talked about handsome men in the Coast Guard class.
We've been talking about this for years.
Yeah.
What is going on with him? Is it envy?
Yes.
Or is it homosexuality?
People have asked me if it's homosexuality. I can't prove that, so I'm not going to claim
it. The idea of being with him is so repellent that, you know, nobody wants to think about it.
He salivates over a lot of supposed beauty, but his standards of beauty, every time I see him in the Oval Office with all that hideous faux gold behind him, I just cringe and think,
well, we've
been
cringing.
God.
We've known him since the 80s and we've been cringing, but some people
I'm cringing over the slush fund too. Everyone is appalled by the slush fund. I really think that was a huge mistake they made and I hope it's really going to bring them down. But I think we should be talking about, if there's going to be a slush fund, who are we giving that money to as reparations? How about Native Americans? How about black people for slavery? How about a little more to Japanese who were interred? And how about
women who weren't allowed to vote for hundreds of years?
That would be nice. And how about everyone being swept up by ICE and tortured in these detention centers these days? Every last one of them should A, be released, and B, be given reparations.
I mean, the stuff going on in New Jersey right now at the detention center is just abominable. Starving people, you know, denying them medications, mistreating them.
Feeding them dirty water and just abusing
because
them.
Because the strategy is, we want you to self-deport.
Yes.
We're going to treat you as, you know. All right. So while Republicans...
I would self-deport under that those conditions. But congratulations to Mikey Sherrill, the new governor of New Jersey, who showed up there and tried
and
to get
Andy Kim, who got gassed, I think.
Yes.
Pepper sprayed.
Yes. And Mikey Sherrill couldn't get let in.
So while Republicans sow division, the Iowa auditor, Democrat Rob Sand, who is running for governor now, he leads the assembled at his town meetings in America the Beautiful to foster unity among everybody. And trans activist Charlotte Clymer, who used to be the press secretary for HRC and is a military veteran, said that what he's doing is beautiful. And the song, they don't emphasize this in the stories, was written in 1893 by Catherine Lee Bates, a lesbian feminist and educator who had a devoted 25-year relationship with her fellow Wellesley professor, Catherine Coleman. Sand leads in the polls in Iowa.
And I'm really happy he does that song instead of the Star Spangled Banner, which I would consider more divisive.
And violent.
Yeah, so America the Beautiful, much better choice. And I'm sorry to report that in spite of the wins we've had in courts lately about resisting the Department of Justice orders for hospitals to turn over their records on trans youth, all this data. The Texas judge, Reed O'Connor, who has been in our sight line for many years.
Far right.
Horrible. He's one of those few that the Republicans go to try to get orders nationally that are horrible. Well, he has ruled that Rhode Island Hospital must give him their data on trans youth and medical care until the case is resolved. They have to hand it to him.
Are they?
The appeals court in Boston upheld this ruling.
Oh, my God.
Others, of course, are saying he should be impeached for doing this. I don't know whether the data has been handed over yet or will be, but it's, you know, one step forward, two steps back.
It's fascism.
It's horrible.
Well, we had a little break in Nebraska where the 2026 legislative session ended without any of the proposed anti-LGBTQ bills passing. They included measures on health care access, school policies, public accommodations. They stalled.
And in Maine, the
they have a way of stalling things in Nebraska. They do.
They do. You're right. And in Maine, the Secretary of State there ruled that the proposed anti-trans referendum for the November ballot was invalid because they screwed around with the signature gathering so badly.
Shanna Bellow, she had originally certified it, but then they found all these reports of chicanery. And she
says, forged signatures, signature gatherers from out of state.
This is going to be going. These anti-trans referenda are going to be going forward in a couple of other states.
I'm sure.
Washington State and Colorado.
Yes.
Now, they are funded by a billionaire named Richard Uline.
Uline,
who the co-founder of Uline Office Supplies, if you ever thought of shopping there.
Right.
He donated $800,000 for this effort and $250 million to political causes. And this is, again, these are the billionaires. Now, why do the billionaires do it? Well, they want to pay low taxes. And then, as you say, they pick out the trans issue and they think it's going to be a winner. And I think it's going to get worn out, especially when people can't afford to drive to the grocery store or buy groceries.
It will get worn out. But will it be in a year, in 10 years, in 20 years? The abortion issue mostly got worn out. The same-sex marriage got worn out. All of these things may come back. But the trans issue is proving very effective for them at the moment.
We have reported on how it's losing its
some we win, some we lose.
No. I mean that people. It's just people do not rank it anywhere near the top.
Paxton wins the primary runoff.
Well, because Trump supported him. I mean, you could argue, how did he win? You know. All right.
It's a mixed bag.
But
for those who think that billionaires, who cares, let them do whatever, this is why we care, because this is how they spend their money.
Right. There shouldn't be any billionaires. I mean, that's not such a radical statement. Certainly.
It's a Mamdani statement.
Actually coined, I think, by Bernie Sanders as his mentor. But and what about the Democratic National Committee? Some of their autopsy from 2024 leaked out, and part of the big reason Trump was very effective with the anti-transgender ads against her. But how about talking about the people who were handling it well, as I've said, like Graham Plattner in Maine? When they ask him about it, he says, we have two athletes in Maine who are transgender. We have 40,000 people who are getting thrown off the ACA. What is it you care about?
Yeah.
And you have to...
I think that's one way of approaching it. I think you also have to forthrightly talk about what the issue is.
Well, he does as well. He supports transgender rights.
And one other thing that came up this week is the Justice Department, I think, is now demanding that all government employees sign this non-disclosure agreement. And their rationale is, in private industry, these are standard, and the government should not have a lower standard than private industry. No, you idiots. The whole point of having a government is that you have public information.
Plus, public employees have a lot more First Amendment protections than private corporations.
The government is not allowed to censor people's speech.
Right.
So to propose this and claim that it's because you need to follow private industry is crazy.
They just throw crap at the wall and see what sticks.
They do, and a lot of it is sticking.
In New Jersey, the appellate division affirmed a judgment of $1.4 million against a Jersey school board for failing to take appropriate steps in the aid of a student who was being subjected to homophobic harassment by a classmate. This is great. They don't name the student. That's good. But it began in middle school. It continued through high school. And the principal testified, oh, I was unaware of the harasser's disciplinary record as a bully and sexual harasser. But all that came out at trial. So, again, it's all about these, you know, sue kids. You should sue if you can, you have the
gall of these principals and teachers who say, I didn't know he was being bullied. What is wrong with you? So in Mississippi, in D'Iberville High School, they were celebrating a trans salutatorian. But when the picture of this trans boy showed up in the yearbook, the school had erased his mustache, feminized his face.
All they did for us is wipe out our zits.
They used his female name. His friends protested. And other people were excluded from the yearbook for wearing clothes that were considered gender inappropriate.
You know what you do in those cases? You make up stickers with the right picture. Seriously, with the right picture. They do this when books are screwed up sometimes and say, everybody who cares, here's a picture that you can paste into your yearbook. It's only it's a very limited run.
I would like it to be mandatory that it's universal. You don't have to ask for it. They do it the right way.
So Colorado Governor Jared Polis, out gay, Democrat, was censured by his own party because he made a decision to free Tina Peters, who was a very high-profile election denier and supporter of Trump, who was serving a 9-year prison sentence, and was totally unrepentant.
She messed with the voting machines, or wanted to, after the 2020 election. This is one of these, Trump won in 2020, and we're going to redo the election to prove that he, in fact, won.
The Central Committee of the Democratic Party of Colorado passed a resolution censuring him for this with 90% support. And the Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado, who was running for governor, called what Polis did disqualifying. And if I become governor, I'm not appointing him to the U.S. Senate seat.
Now, she was sentenced to 9 years.
I know you're a more compassionate person than I am.
Well, she had served 2 years. Maybe there's a middle ground.
We don't believe in long prison sentences.
Right. That's my only problem with censuring him.
Well,
but you say that's not why he let her out.
Of course, he was getting pressure from Trump. We're going to cut off federal funds if you don't let her out.
Trump, he's learned the formula. I threaten to cut off federal funds. It makes you think we shouldn't be so dependent on federal funds.
Certainly. But we've done that, too, over the years, saying you're not going to get Medicare or Medicaid if you don't treat trans people nicely. You know, we've done that.
Okay. Where was I going to go? Oh, the Southern Baptists. They've decided to pass a firm resolution confirming that no women can be pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention.
This is a picture.
Churches.
We got a picture of that guy. His name?
Al Mohler.
Al Mohler is he's saying, we need clarity on this. We got clarity about keeping the gays out. Now we need clarity on keeping the women out.
Shouldn't we just take a little corner of the United States and call it men's world and let them all go live there?
Well, you know, look, I mean, the Pope came out with this thing about AI, and there was a huge amount of press about it, although somebody who actually read it said it's nothing. But I'm not taking...
Probably written by AI.
I'm not taking moral advice from someone who can't just admit women are people and gay people are people who deserve equal dignity. And he knows that. But he won't do it because he would lose his power. And he comes from a boys' club. And it's, come on, Why do people flock around and say, oh, look what the Holy Father said about AI?
All right, shall we get into the good news of Watertown, Wisconsin?
We can. I have a couple of other stories I just want to do. A little bit more on that taxpayer-funded Christian nationalist rally on the D.C. Mall that we talked about.
Okay.
Franklin Graham described the United States as morally rotten, blaming transgenderism and same-sex marriage for the depravity and America sunk so low. But he also talked about, you know, the Bible predicted there would be these narcissistic leaders who would not be for the people. He's talking about Trump, but he doesn't realize it.
And himself.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, we shouldn't use the word God there, I guess. And the Republican base is fracturing over how much bigotry is tolerable. Florida International University suspended two students who held Republican Party leadership positions for their text chat slurs against Jewish, black, gay people, and women.
Yes.
And these were epic kinds of things.
Egregious.
Avoid the coloreds like the plague. I would definitely not marry a Jew. It goes on and on. And now they're suing. Tell me how you feel about this.
Free speech.
First Amendment. You can't do this to us. You can't suspend us for speech.
Well, is Florida International a government entity?
It is.
Well, that's why they might win, because the government is not allowed to censor their speech.
Okay. Let's go to Watertown.
Let's do.
So we have a picture here of the composer of Mother of a Revolution, a very short orchestral piece. We've told you about it, which is inspired by Marsha P. Johnson and the Stonewall Rebellion.
This is Omar Thomas,
right,
the author of the piece.
So, and I...
Composer.
As I had urged when they were banned, the school orchestra was banned by the school board from doing this piece because it glorified political violence, which is insane. It's an orchestral piece. And it's also, you know, come on, the whole country's founded on violence.
We're going to pay millions of dollars to people who attack the Capitol.
Right, exactly. So I said, come on, kids, just do it outside the spring function. But a Lutheran church, you know, liberal church these days, they invited them in. It was so moving. I have the whole video to show you. But the first speaker we're going to show you.
Well, you're not going to show the video here. You're going to link to it in the show notes.
The whole video.
Yes. Yes.
But we're going to hear from.
But we're not going to hear the music.
We can't do the music. That gets us in trouble. So you'll hear the music if you get the link to this. And you could Google it, a Mother of the Revolution. So the first one we're going to hear from is Charles Succo, who was a student in the Watertown band.
It's here where I was introduced to a Mother of a Revolution. The whole situation regarding the song has taught me a lot in a very small amount of time, so let's start with the basics. A Mother of a Revolution was written to honor Marsha P. Johnson, a trans woman of color, and to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. The song represents many emotions, but the biggest one that I took away from it was empathy. That's what I spoke about on the board meeting on Tuesday, and I hold the same opinion now that I did then, that empathy, that A Mother of a Revolution at its core is about empathy, and empathy is never something that we should try to hide or take away. Whew. In the past week, thank you.
Makes me feel good about our young people.
Exactly. And then the band director, Matt Kaczynski, spoke of a brief clip from him.
They told these students that their labor didn't matter, and that they told our LGBTQ plus youth that their history and their identity are things to be hidden away. That is profound failure of educational leadership.
For the school system. And then, so Omar Thomas, who wrote this piece, flies in from where I think he was overseas or something and said he had to be here. And we have two clips from him as he directed the orchestra that day.
This is why I had to come, because I had to feel the energy that you all have generated by deciding that community is what matters and inspiring people all over this country, nay, all over the world. Because I've learned about this through media from across the seas. And that's what you all have done by choosing love, by choosing to support these students, and by choosing to stand in community, because I believe that that's the way forward in these dark times. So I said, how about we make this about Stonewall, if it's going to be about Stonewall, and how about we honor the members of the LGBTQ plus community who have fought the hardest, and the reason that they fought the hardest is because they've had the most to lose. And that is the Black trans community. And so I decided to write this piece to honor Marsha P. Johnson. And it was actually a pretty easy decision to figure out what this piece was supposed to sound like. I was never going to write something that was elegiac or a dirge or sorrowful, because when I think about the trans people in my life, my students, my friends, my community, I think about strength. I think about people who choose themselves, and they choose joy, and they choose laughter, despite every time they step out the door, the world wanting to destroy and erase them. And that is the bravest act that I can imagine. And I wanted to honor that.
It was a joyous evening. And I just want to thank the Watertown School Board, because they have brought international attention to something that would have not even been noticed. They just let the damn thing go. It's a 4.5 minute piece.
You're thanking them ironically because they're the ones who created
this
by
course.
Censuring it.
Banned
and
in Boston.
I think Omar Thomas is someone that Trump should find attractive.
Yes.
He's very cute.
He's very fit.
All right. A couple of minor but annoying stories. In Miami Beach, cameras caught a couple of German tourists, 62 and 58, vandalizing a rainbow bench. Remember how DeSantis outlawed the rainbow crosswalks, and then they moved all the bricks to a park, and one of the things they did was create a rainbow bench. Well, these German tourists happen along, and they start vandalizing the bench with, ready for this?
Swastikas.
Swastika. Yeah. And Adolf was here.
German tourists.
German tourists. The German Council General apologized to Jews for this, but not to LGBTQ people.
Yes,
who are Rainbow
also,
Bench.
Who are also in the camps being exterminated.
Yes, but luckily there were security cameras that caught all this, and so they were arrested.
Have they been deported?
I don't know, but they were certainly reprimanded. And then in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, there's an artist there who does lovely pictures of koi fish on the sidewalk.
What kind of fish?
Koi, K-O-I.
Oh, okay.
Like the goldfish, but yes, a little fancier. So he picks little spots around the city, and he does these really lovely pictures of koi. Well, someone came along and spray-painted fag all over the koi fish. Really? The koi fish are fags? So that was another lovely moment. And to those who think that we live all these great lives, many of us do, but it just hasn't stopped. The hatred, the stigmatization, the attacks, the random attacks on us all over the place. I'm going to get to more of that later in, believe it or not, entertainment
news. Well, let's talk about some of the people we lost. In Fort Pierce, Florida, 35-year-old trans Latina Lanessa Rodriguez was shot to death inside her own Florida business, which was a silver and gold store, sort of a pawn shop. A police arrested a 20-year-old who entered, pulled out a gun. Pawn shop, yes. Shot the victim multiple times before trying to open the cash register and leave the scene. This guy, Ballard, later said, "Is it bad that I have no remorse?"
Yes,
wow.
It is.
Wow. You know, and they made a second arrest in the case. Vanessa lived in Fort Pierce, managed a couple of shops. I mean, just trying to live her life.
Absolutely. And then in Kentucky, a Northern Kentucky University student, Murray Alexis Faust, trans, 22 years old, found dead on the campus. The police are saying
by a search party.
Yeah, no signs of foul play. Well, that was a very quick decision, and there's more to be learned about Murray.
Murray was a fine arts major at the university and set to graduate this year.
And there are several murders of trans people discovered in Texas. Jade Roberts, 25 years old, in Houston. Paris Harris, 21 years old, in Dallas. Just more trans murders.
And again, this is the atmosphere being created by these billionaires who want to keep their taxes low by running all these anti-trans ads.
Exactly. All right. International news?
Well, start with the good news from Britain. They announced a £21 million commitment to support global LGBTQ rights over the next 3 years. That's nice. And they said London will host the 2027 Idaho Bid Forum, European Forum. So that's welcome news. But then you read about things that are happening in places like Durham in England, that the council is controlled by Nigel Farage's fascist Reform Party. They have cut off funding to the annual Pride celebration. So what did what happened? The labor movement rallied around them and said, we'll pay for it.
Well, these are the miners that were saved by the gay community there when they went on strike, and the gay community came out and supported them and helped them.
Collected money, yeah. Came up there. That was dramatized in the movie Pride. It was a true story.
It's a great movie.
I'll be seeing a musical about that in London this year. And I ran into Andrew Scott, who was in the movie, and I said, have you seen the musical? He said, I saw it in Wales. He's, you know, Welsh. And he said, it's terrific.
Well, the original movie was terrific, and the story is terrific, and now the miners have raised more money to save Pride in Durham than the council had canceled in the first place.
Which is what we have to do.
And we are take care of ourselves.
And we're going to continue to have our annual Queer Liberation March, which is outside of the corporate march.
And I am helping marshal for the second year in a row the drag march on Friday night that weekend. And that will be a lot of fun.
Pride weekend.
Come to that.
And by the way, I always get a note from one of our viewers in Chicago. We had the first Pride parade in the country. And they did. They beat New York by a couple of days.
Also in the UK, England, Wales, and Scotland are proposing no trans people in single-sex, multi-stall restrooms and changing rooms. But if that's the case, the facility must offer single-use alternative places.
So listen to this. Under the guidance now, a service could face sex discrimination claims in court if they include trans people in single-sex spaces, according to their gender identity. But if they exclude trans people from single-sex spaces, they could face a claim on discrimination against them based on gender identity, all that stuff. So it's just nuts about where people are going to go to the bathroom.
It is. Well, don't go to Senegal because they have an urgent search going on there for a quote, vast network of homosexuals ever since they passed their drastic new law, doubling the penalties for being gay. They've just arrested 100 people in Senegal. It's a witch hunt.
And, you know, the International Lesbian, ILGA, I don't even know what it stands for anymore. It used to be International Lesbian and Gay Association World Advisory Group. They note that the number of UN member states criminalizing consensual same-sex acts has risen for the first time in memory.
Well, and
now standing at 65 countries. That's a backslide.
Check the list before you go anywhere.
Absolutely.
Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur, where we know they are ruled by Sharia law. They've just arrested another 51 men at a so-called gay party in a hotel. They went room by room and arrested people. They picked up $26,000 worth of ketamine and MDMA, and one guy ended up dead in the lobby of the hotel.
We certainly can't object to them breaking up a drug party, but they're going after these people because they're gay.
They're all consensual adults. And ILGA also notes that Spain is now the best country in Europe for LGBTQ rights. That's basically an assessment of the laws they have and their level of acceptance. And a trans organization says that Iceland is the best place for trans people in Europe.
I've never been. Have you?
No. I have friends who've been, but I have not. Oh, and in Hong Kong, for the second year in a row, they've canceled the Pink Dot festivities, which is their pride celebration. Yes, because China will not give the, you know, when China took over Hong Kong, which used to be evidently, haven't been there either, a pretty free place, they've cracked down on dissent and difference. And they're not issuing any permits for this. And so it's canceled, although it'll be interesting to see whether they pull something off.
What will happen to same-sex marriage and all the LGBTQ rights in Taiwan when China takes over? Oh, of course, they already think they own it.
Not looking forward to any
Trump
of that.
But Trump is standing aside and letting them have it.
Here, take it. All right. Should we get on to
The Pussycat Dolls are back, huh?
Well, sort of. They reassembled for a tour of Europe, and then they showed up. There were five of them. Now there are three of them there at the American Music Awards, head-to-toe latex. In the middle, this is why I wanted to use this picture, Nicole Scherzinger, who last year
won
the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical for a revival of Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
And here she is in Las Vegas at the American Music Awards doing a very wild, crazy, sexy performance of a medley of their hits, including most famously, Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Were Hot Like Me, Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Were a Freak Like Me. And last year she was winning the Tony.
First time they've gotten together since 2006. And since they canceled their North American tour, though, earlier this month.
Yes. There is dissension within the group.
Some of them didn't show up for the American Music Awards.
Yes. And there are charges of lip syncing. But it was a very hot performance. I highly recommend you look it up on YouTube.
All right. I went, many lovers of Heated Rivalry out there, I went to see Heated Rivalry, the unauthorized musical parody, and it's very clever. It's off-Broadway at the Culture Club. It's great fun. Starring are J. Armstrong Johnson as Ilya and Jimin June as Shane, but the show is framed as a show that is a favorite of women who watch it every week, and that's how it starts. But they do it in a very funny way. However, as a person with hearing loss, I have to say, even though it's very loud, it's sort of a cacophony, and I miss some of your good lines.
That's why you did, because it's a cacophony. And then there was the final show by Stephen Colbert on CBS, although now he's already started a YouTube channel. And he very cleverly went back to a public access show in Michigan that he had done just before he started the CBS show. So we, as public access veterans, are very charmed by him showing up on public access.
However,
on his last show on CBS, he had a lot of celebrity cameos and people coming out of the audience and whatever. And Ryan Reynolds comes out of the audience to give flowers or something to the band leader and gives him a big hug. And the payoff for that is the band leader recoils in horror at being hugged by a man. And everybody laughs.
Well, that's late night forever.
Well, it's epidemic through the culture.
I can't tell you how many people from Johnny Carson.
It's everywhere.
Jack Parr. You can go back
everywhere.
Forever. Fag jokes.
This is happening now. This is 2026, and it's still happening. And it's just knee-jerk, lazy, bigoted humor, and people just won't cut it out. It is everywhere. It's not just late night. It is all over the place. And I found it was tiny. It was offensive.
Yes. well, if you really want to be somebody who's really out there, go see Cola Scola in his hit play, Oh Mary. He's coming. He's making his London premiere at the Trafalgar Theater from July 20th to August 15th. Catherine Tate is in the role until then. She's quite wonderful if you've ever seen her.
I don't know. Have I?
Oh, she does all these online. She's very funny.
Okay. Are you going to be there then?
I am. I've seen Cole,
yeah,
you know.
That's true.
So.
Well, good for him for doing it in London.
All right. Actor Thora Birch has come out as bisexual in an Us magazine interview. No, she remember her.
She's married to a man.
Married to a man, American Beauty years ago.
Ghost World was her big.
Yes, where she was Kevin Spacey's daughter. And she was in the dramatic film Chronology of Water about a young woman's recovery from childhood sexual abuse, directed by bisexual actress Kristen Stewart, who was with a woman.
Kristen Stewart is always interesting.
So what does Birch say? I don't want to get too political, but find your community where you can, stand with them, stick with them, and share that love that you share together and reach it towards others. Well, that's nice.
Sure.
But then she says, we have to stop fighting. Well, but we have to fight.
Fine, Thora.
We actually have to fight.
Yeah. Well, maybe a little more fighting.
Oh, by the way, she made this announcement while attending the 35th anniversary of the West Hollywood gay bar, The Abbey, Elizabeth Taylor's favorite bar.
Say it somewhere straight. There's a rock group called Beartooth, and they have a singer, Caleb Shomo, 33 years old, and he has just come out as a proudly gay man.
Is it Shomo?
Shomo.
Yeah.
He says that he spent a decade of burying his feelings with alcohol, depression, self-loathing, hopelessness.
Wow.
I thought that was just an astonishing statement for him to own up to all of that and to connect his closetedness to depression and alcohol. That was so insightful and great.
Now, his wife of 14 years, Fleur Shomo, said, it's been very disorienting and a hurtful time, but I always want to love, protect, and support Caleb.
Caleb. I assume.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Fleur, the wife, says she supports him, but she is angry and devastated and has lost everything. That sounds a little, hyperbolic. And then our pal Rob Shooter, who sometimes sits in here and who writes a wonderful Substack of insight and gossip.
And a new novel.
A great new novel.
It began with a whisper.
That's the title of the novel. So Rob wrote about this, and he says that lots of closeted rock stars are very nervous about Caleb coming out because, first, he may blow their cover, and second, he may change the perception of the rock star that, if rock stars are gay, what's rock music about?
You know.
Now, Freddie Mercury might object to that, and even Elton John.
I mean, look, the occasional Catholic priest comes out, but it doesn't start a stampede out of the closet, does it?
It does not. But it's an interesting incident, and I'm really just proud of Caleb for being so forthright about his issues.
So Peter Hujar was a fabulous photographer, out gay, who really chronicled the counterculture from the 60s on until he died in 1987. And I mentioned this last week, but now I've seen it, and it blew me away. It's an exhibit of his contact sheets. And this one, I'd never seen these pictures. So you need a magnifying glass. But Marsha P. Johnson, the Peers, Gay Life, stuff that I'd never seen before.
Well, these are the Peers as I remember them in the 70s. I wasn't hanging out there, but I would visit and go by. And that's exactly what it all looked like.
He's got pictures of young Fran Lebowitz. Just hanging out in a bed. John Waters with very long hair hanging out in a bed. It goes on and on and on. And it is just, it's.
I find the peer pictures more interesting because that was the people in real life. I once saw Rudolf Nureyev there on the piers. That was cute.
What did you observe?
He had an entourage of a couple of young men with him, and he was strolling the piers.
Oh, just strolling. Okay.
Well, I didn't hang around to see everything.
Well, anyway, it's at the Morgan Library. I highly recommend it. A lot of LGBTQ stuff. The Australian Ballet is going to premiere this fall Oscar, bringing the life of Oscar Wilde to a ballet for the first time, centering on his gay relationships, and I'm mentioning it. It's only going to run from October 8th through October 11th in New York City at the New York City Center. So it's a short run if you're interested.
Well, always available on demand forever and ever, The Real Housewives of Atlanta, where our hero Portia, who has had a long and checkered career on this show. She's her grandfather was a civil rights hero, Hosea Williams. And she was famous early on for saying that the Underground Railroad was a railroad. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Oh my.
But she has grown up a lot over the years on this show, and she is now exploring her sexuality and talking openly about being with women. And it's very, very interesting. So check out the current season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta to watch the evolution of Portia Williams.
There's apparently a ton of gay stuff at Cannes this year. I just noticed, and I'm going to link to an article about that by Gary Kramer from the Gay City News, but the Best Director Award went to a tie for the movie Fatherland from Poland, which is about Tomasz Mann and his daughter, lesbian Erika. He was homosexual also, taking a tour of Germany after the war. They had left before the war. And I don't know how much they discuss their sexuality in it. And then the other one is based on an unfinished play by Federico Garcia Lorca. It's called La Bola Negra. So lots of gay stuff coming out of there.
We're all over the place.
We are everywhere. But we've been saying it for a long time. Stop taking shots at us.
But,
where would you be without us?
People are taking shots at, or not taking shots, at the Ginger's lesbian bar in Brooklyn.
Oh, right.
Which has been there for 26 years and is really a mainstay of the Park Slope community. But
apparently too noisy.
Well, evidently, I actually drove right by it this week and the neighborhood is gentrifying a little more, although it looked pretty much the same to me, but they get noise complaints. Now, my attitude, of course, is just turn it down. But, really, does it have to be so loud that the neighbors are complaining?
Put up some insulation.
Yes, but evidently that's not going to work. So they've canceled many of their Pride events there, because this is an ongoing problem.
All right.
So if you want to dance the night away at Ginger's, check the dates when you
want
to.
Well, Ann, have a wonderful break.
Thank you. I will be gone for 2 weeks. I know I was just gone for a couple of weeks, but I hadn't been gone for months and months and months.
Yes.
So I'm going for 2 weeks, and then I'll be back.
Chris Cooper will be here.
Yes. And then you're going to London.
In July.
Yeah.
And you'll have some different co-hosts.
Yes. All right, so I'll see you then, and we are done for this week. Thank you very much. See you in a while.